Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hour two, getting started on Grant and Danny. Let's go back to what we started the show with, which is this idea that Ron Rivera is assembling a staff that is largely comprised of a lot of the folks he worked with in Carolina, which is not surprising. This is what head coaches do. But we're wondering, as you start to put together the Panthers North, this is not a team that won the Super Bowl. There were plenty of losing seasons, three really successful seasons. If you guys have been listening to the show, you know we love the Rivera hire. We like the Jack Del Rio edition even more. But it's worth asking, you know, how good was that collection of Panthers minds that did never win a Super Bowl and pretty frequently miss the postseason? Kyle Bailey does radio in Charlotte and is very much an analyst when it comes to this team. We wanted to get him on Grant and Danny to discuss this. So, Kyle, thanks for a few minutes. I wanted to start with the new offensive coordinator, Scott Turner. When last year did he start to grow an influence, and how much do you know about him as a play caller and schemer?
Well, first of all, guys, appreciate you having me. As far as Scott Turner goes, you know, Scott was not a prominent figure, so to speak, in terms of guys that we talked about down here a lot. He was the quarterback's coach. His dad is North Turner. So, you know, he got some attention. And anytime you've got a father and son on staff in the NFL, not that it's that common, but when it happens, you get the requisite nepotism jokes and things along those lines. And so I'm sure Scott Turner's had to fight that perception his entire career. But he was well-regarded within the building. And when they decided to move on from Ron Rivera, clearly they gave him the opportunity over the past or the last four games to be the offensive coordinator, to call the plays, and to audition, if you will. And I don't think that it was ever really set up for success, because he was working with, you know, first a guy in Kyle Allen, who's 23 years old in his first full season on the job. And then after that, it was Will Grier, who's a third round pick and was clearly really not ready for NFL action. So, you know, between that and DJ Moore's injury and Greg Olsen's injury, you had Scott Turner calling plays for several guys who either didn't get a ton of run this year or were never really going to get a ton of run this year. So I'm not sure what we can glean from those final four games of Scott Turner as a play caller, but I can say he was well-regarded within the building and someone that had been talked about for a while now within NFL circles as a possible future offensive coordinator.
And Cal, I think it's just so hard to evaluate it. Positional coaches. I mean, with head coaches, they're there. You can see the challenges or the fourth down, go for it or not, punt decisions. You can evaluate them a little bit. But with positional coaches, it's so tough. Like, if Luke Kuechly makes a great play, is that because Steve Russ is a genius or because Luke Kuechly is a superstar? So, just anecdotally, how was this staff viewed down there in Carolina?
Well, I think toward the end, they were not viewed very favorably. 9 years in, and it's like anything else, you know, human nature these days, especially as we get tired of things very quickly. The truth is, Ron Rivera was still a good football coach on the day they fired him. And I think you got a really, really good football coach up there. And the truth is, just about every team in this league is one snap away from mediocrity or the exact same situation the Panthers found themselves in this year when they lost Cam Newton after week two. You know, when they had to go from Cam Newton and, quite frankly, aspirations of getting back to a Super Bowl this year with some of the acquisitions they made. You know, you lose Cam, Kyle Allen gets thrown in the fire. He acquits himself pretty well early on, but it's not against the greatest competition. And then he regresses to the mean. Well, all of that is going to be a reflection on the head coach because the buck stops with him. But Ron Rivera, just like Jim Harbaugh last year in Baltimore, December of 2018 18, we're talking about firing Jim Harbaugh. A year later, he's got the most dynamic player and offense in the league, and they might be Super Bowl bound. So, you know, I think unfavorably toward the end, I think some of it was unfair, but, and no respect to you or the Redskins up there, but when that loss occurred to Washington that Sunday, it became pretty impossible to defend Ron Rivera, and it felt like the writing was on the wall.
Kyle Bailey is the host of Panthers Tailgate Show on WFNZ, and he's joining us on Grant and Danny. Is Rivera, now that he's out, is he viewed – everybody loves him as a guy, obviously, but is he viewed as a guy who was a success there? Like, what is your take about him being hired immediately right after he left to go to Washington as an outsider who saw what he did in Carolina?
Oh, it was entirely predictable that Ron got hired as quickly as he did. you know, I have the utmost respect for Ron Rivera, and that's a refrain that you hear from the players, the guys in the locker room that played for him. The truth of the matter is, I just felt like you had a new owner that wanted to go a different direction and put his own seal on things, and that's ultimately what he chose to do. But make no mistake about it, Ron Rivera is still a very good football coach and very well respected. You know, it's interesting. I host afternoons here in Charlotte, and when I hop off the phone with you guys, I'm headed uptown to the introductory press conference for Matt Rhule here in Charlotte as the next head coach of the Panthers. And Matt Rhule has a lot of Ron Rivera in him. And I get the sense that, you know, that is also – that's not a coincidence, I'll say. You know, I think there's something to be said for a guy who creates culture and commands respect in the locker room, but in the proper way. And, you know, there are a lot of good things that can still be said about Ron. And 2 days after he was fired here in Charlotte, he joined me in studio for about a 30-minute sit-down, and it felt like Ron had a plan all along. It felt like Ron was ready for this, and you know, I can't put words in his mouth, or I don't want to assume, but it felt like this might have been the plan all along to end up in Washington. So I'm excited for Skins fans to get this kind of guy up there, and I'm curious to see where it all goes.
Kyle Bailey on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Why do you think they didn't have more success with the Panthers? Because as you can imagine – that's kind of what we're wondering now. Everybody likes the hire, but the thing we've talked about today is it's not like he's getting together a bunch of dudes that were with the Patriots as they were winning Super Bowls. You know, there were good years. There were a lot of years they didn't make the playoffs. Why weren't they able to accomplish more?
Oh, I think it's a lot of reasons, a confluence of a lot of factors. You know, I'm a big Cam Newton fan personally, but I'll be the first to also admit that Cam is a flawed quarterback. And earlier in his career, he struggled quite a bit, you know, with consistency. And I think the frustrating thing for Panthers fans is, you know, seeing him through the first eight games of last year, they were 6-2. He was the best red zone passer in the NFL. He was, you know, on an MVP track potentially. Now, he might not have won it because Patrick Mahomes had a special season and so did Drew Brees. But, you know, Cam Newton in the first year under North Turner looked fantastic. And then the shoulder blows out. And so that's, you know, catching a pretty tough break. They caught another tough break this past season when Cam suffered the freak Lisfranc injury against the Patriots in week 3 of the preseason and then re-aggravated it against Tampa Bay in week 2, and that was that. So, you know, there's a lot of emphasis on, well, he had 3 winning seasons in 9 years. All right, well, that's true, you know, but the context will tell you he didn't have his quarterback this year. He only had his healthy quarterback for half a season last year, and one of those losing seasons was his very first, where he took a 2-14 team and went 6-10, and Cam Newton won the Rookie of the Year. Market improvement, 4 games better than the year before, but he's not going to get credit for that when you look back on it, you know, over a 9-year span. So the organization didn't always do a great job of building and maintaining an offensive line. They haven't always done a great job of, you know, putting the proper weapons around their quarterback. Let's not forget that 2015 team that ran to the Super Bowl and lost to the Broncos. You know, Cam was throwing to Jericho Cotchery, Philly Brown, and Ted Ginn. You know, Ted Ginn's a pretty good receiver and has made a nice career for himself, but I don't think anybody's mistaking him for a number one wide receiver. So, you know, it's some of this has been organizational. Some of this has been on Cam. Some of this has been on Ron, who has failed at times in game management situations late. And that's why Sam Mills III, for instance, was brought in, you know, to help him with those sorts of situations. So I don't think you can lay that at the feet of any one individual. I think it's been a collective failure at times, and they nearly got to the summit. But unfortunately, if that happens, it won't be with Ron Rivera.
Kyle, this is another anecdotal question, so apologies here. It's hard to put your finger with good evidence, but a running theme over the last several years with Washington has been a rash of injuries, whether it's players being on the injured list, whether it's guys getting hurt. It sounds like it's day-to-day, then they're gone for months, et cetera. What was the feeling about Ryan Vermillion and the medical staff down there in Carolina? A much-needed change to Washington, even if it's just a different voice, but how did folks feel about him down there?
Well, get used to this. Write this down. Every week when Ron is asked about an injury situation or an update by the media, you're going to hear, I don't know, I've got to check with RV. So get used to that, because he's going to say that quite a bit. He relies on Ryan Vermillion. They have a good working relationship. There's a reason that Ryan's following him to D.C. Ryan's got a good reputation among those that I know and have talked to here over the past couple of years. I know that, look, anytime you have a rash of injuries, medical staff, training staff is going to get questioned. I don't think that's been a huge issue here, though there have been some instances of, you know, guys having prolonged injuries and wondering what the real issue is. Some of that's just been a lack of communication or poor communication, you know, about injury situations and what's going on. ultimately, I don't think that's going to be a systemic problem there. I wouldn't expect that. I wouldn't do much worrying about that until it becomes a real issue. But, you know, again, I'm, like you said to start this conversation, I'm not surprised that he's bringing most of his guys with him. That's what coaches tend to do. They're a very loyal pack of people. And, you know, I think overall, you know, this flock of individuals that are landing in D.C. right now are all pretty quality coaches. John Matsko has been a fantastic offensive line coach throughout the course of his career. But this offensive line here in Carolina this past season, they suffered a ton of injuries. And they played four different starting left tackles and just God knows how many combinations of offensive linemen this year. So, you know, I don't know how much longer John Matsko is going to coach, but that's a guy that I have a lot of respect for.
Kyle Bailey, WFNZ on Twitter, if you want to give him a follow. Kyle, thanks so much. Enjoy the press conference today. I would have loved to talk to you about Matt Rhule, but other business to tend to here in the nation's capital. Enjoy it, though. That's exciting.
Thanks
for the time.
Yeah, man, appreciate it, guys. I'm a Virginia native, and I got a lot of friends in your neck of the woods. So anytime you need something, just holler at me.
Sounds good. We appreciate you. There's Kyle Bailey on Grant and Danny. 7 years and $62 million for Matt Rhule, by the way.
62. Plus, they bought his contract out at Baylor.
Yeah, and it could be worth 70 if he hits a couple escalators.
So old Tepper's like, that's $6 million? Okay, hold on. What commas? Zero. No problem. Just mail it off. Mail that, by the way? What do you do?
You probably write a check and you mail that.
In a certified envelope just to make sure it gets there? A $6 million check in the mail.
How else would you do it? Maybe you wire it?
I don't know what you
do. Can you wire them money?
I can't. You're going to send someone $6 million.
Well, I know that a lot of people are up in arms because he's never proven himself at the NFL level and he's getting paid that much. But my take on coaching money has always been there's no salary cap.
There's no cap.
And these owners are super rich. Like, you really think David Tepper's going to miss an extra $15 million? He probably isn't.
He lost
so
this
really
morning in the couch.
Rhule, then hire Rhule.
Hire Rhule.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. The Redskins have the second pick. They could trade down. I've come up with a possibility that I want to bounce off of you guys to see if you would be willing to trade down if this deal could be worked out with a team with a couple of first-round picks. You're listening to G&D on the Fan.
I saw a picture of myself. This was a few years ago. And I didn't look like what I thought I looked like. I was very puffy. Looked like I'd swallowed the Michelin Man. In the side fat, the cheeks. Looked like I had acorns. I was disgusting. And I saw the success that Grant had on EMP 180 weight loss, where you're already losing weight. Said, you know what? I got to get me some of that. And I did. And I'm so thankful that I went with the EMP 180. They have changed my life. I lost the weight. I've kept it off. I know how to keep it off. If I get out of bounds a little bit like the holiday season, GP, I know exactly what to do to get myself back on course. EMP 180 has given me that.
Yeah, EMP 180 is changing a lot of lives. And we got a lot of listeners who are better off than they were from a health, both physically and mentally standpoint, than before they got on the program. Do what so many of our listeners, what me and Danny and people that we love, my brothers, friends, people that we've put on the program that we don't even know have done, and get down, drop the weight, and extend years to your life. You got to Google EMP 180 or go to EMP180.com or call them at 855-888-0180. That's 855-888-0180. And get that consultation today and get started. No better time like right now. We're already 7 days into the new year. Don't keep sleeping. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back, and thanks much for making the show part of your day. The double play at 11:45. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. And at 12:45 today, Major League Baseball is trying to deal with a major controversy. Its last two World Series champions before your Washington Nationals in 2019. 2017 Astros, the 2018 Red Sox, both now having been found to have cheated by using technology to decipher signs. What should be done? Danny is way more adamant about taking these two teams to the mattress than I am, but we'll get into that. If you missed any part of our show, the first hour today, including Redskins fans' thoughts on whether or not they want to see Kirk Cousins continue to put together strong playoff performances, you can rewind the show with the radio.com rewind function. Make sure you download the radio.com app, and you can go back in time and listen to what you want when you want. So, Danny, we've talked a lot already about the potential of picking Chase Young number two overall.
Uh-huh.
Redskins got the second pick. It should never be forgotten that if the Dolphins would have just gotten that two-point conversion, in October against the Redskins that Washington might have the number one overall pick.
All it took.
That was the only thing separating
them there
in the end from having a better pick than the Cincinnati Bengals. But instead, they pick after Cincy. They'll pick number two, and Chase Young's probably going to be the choice. However, they could absolutely trade down.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great possibility that they do that. So I was trying to think last night, because I know you're pro trading down.
Uh-huh.
In fact, you're not even considering the possibility of drafting Chase Young.
Not for me, no. Now, again, if the offers are pittance, I'm not just trading down for 2 seventh-round picks. It's got to be a nice market offer.
Sure, sure.
But I've got the Nobel Prize-winning economists that have informed me that your best chance for success is to not hit on 19. It's to trade back and get yourself more picks.
So what I want to do is for people like me who would prefer to take Chase Young, because those Nobel Prize-winning writers that you talk about didn't know anything about this draft class when they said that. And I think just in general, operating with rules is foolish. I think you should look at every draft and every player and every situation as its own entity. Otherwise, if you just operate with rules, you're going to make a lot of mistakes for a long, long time. But people like me who are pro Chase Young, there's got to be a price, right? There's got to be something that you would say, well, absolutely, you got to trade down. So I'm not necessarily in either camp. I'm not in the you got to draft Chase Young camp. I'm certainly not in your camp of you got to trade down. I am more in the let's see what the best offer is, and I'll make my decision when I know that. But one thing I was thinking about is the Miami Dolphins have the 5th pick in the draft just because they were terrible, 5-11.
Mm-hmm.
They have the 18th pick in the draft because they traded Minkah Fitzpatrick to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Uh-huh.
And they have the 27th pick in the draft because they traded Laremy Tunsil to the Houston Texans. Now, they're not going to give you like 5 and 18. But what if they gave you 5 and 27 or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're a Redskins fan, even if you really want Chase Young, if the Dolphins this year offered you 5 and 27 for the number 2 pick in the draft, I think you would do that, right?
Yeah, of course.
You would get one of the best players in the country in the top 5. Let's say maybe wide receiver Jerry Jeudy. Or you could take left tackle Andrew Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
You could even take a pass rusher. I mean, you have the pick of the litter just about in this draft class because Burrow goes one to the Bengals. Presumably the Dolphins would take Tua Tagovailoa. I would think the Lions would take Chase Young. And then the Giants kind of start the draft at number 4.
Mm-hmm.
You pick one pick after that. So I guess let's start with that question. I'm assuming I shouldn't do that. Are there any Redskins fans out there, those of you that really, really want to draft Chase Young, would you turn down a Dolphins offer if they're suggesting, give us the 2nd pick and we'll give you number 5 and number 27? And that pick could change, by the way, a little bit. It could get lower, I guess, if the Texans were to surprise everyone and beat the Chiefs this week.
Yeah, that's where you start to get into permutations I can't figure out.
It's fairly simple. When you get eliminated, you move down, and you can't get worse than 32.
But, like, the Dolphins are going to go down or get a better pick if the Houston Texans win?
No, they just have the Texans pick.
Oh, because they have the Texans pick.
Yeah,
okay.
They'll pick wherever the Texans end up out
Sorry.
Of the 32 teams.
I was thinking of something else entirely. Forget I spoke.
Okay.
Just
right.
Forget I said that.
So here's the question. 800-636-1067. I want to hear from you guys. Would you trade the number 2 pick and the possibility of Chase Young as a future all-pro type for 5 and 27? You obviously would say yes.
100%, because Chase Young right now seems like the bell of the ball, and he may be great, just like everybody else before him may be great. But what we refuse to admit is these evaluators who do it professionally, and then it trickles down to us, and we share their information. If this was an exact science, you would just take Chase Young. It's not. We treat it as an exact science when it is literally a coin toss, and it's always been a coin toss. It's been a coin toss for decades. So while somebody seems good or great or can't miss, they are missable. Everybody
is. Of course.
Is. And so the point is, the most bites at the apple in that first, second, third round range are that your best chance for Pro Bowlers, for long-term starters, for building blocks. So you should stockpile. The Patriots have the most second-round picks, 39 of them over the last 15 years. It's no coincidence they continue to rebuild and continue to be excellent on a yearly basis. Yes, it helps to have Belichick and Brady. I'm aware of that. They're not great just because they have second-rounders, but they've got really smart people that figured it out. That's where the commodities are.
Sure, sure.
So what you should be doing here is using maybe, Tua Tagovailoa all of a sudden becomes sexy. Maybe Justin Herbert has great workouts. More good players up at the top that people got the burning pants for is better for you as a Redskins general manager or organization because they don't have one.
Terrell Lewis is an edge rusher from Alabama. It's a crapshoot as to what kind of player he's going to be, right? Because it's a crapshoot what type of player all these guys are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
While I'll acknowledge a lot of what you just said is fair, you also need to acknowledge that Chase Young's not Terrell Lewis. I mean, so it's not like he's just another edge rusher. I mean, that when you say, oh, the pundits could be wrong, sure. But when they're more adamant and more confident and more sure about this guy than they are a lot of guys, the percentage chance that he's terrible, the percentage chance that he's out of the league in a few years, that he's a bust, so to speak, it goes down. And this guy is viewed as one of those elite, special, unique, game-changing, human wrecking ball world leader Miles Garrett types who have been phenomenal. And it doesn't mean that the batting average is 1,000.
Right.
But the batting average on prospects like Chase Young might be closer to 750
sure.
than a guy like Terrell Lewis, where the batting average is probably 455.
And that's also covered by the Nobel Prize winners, where you go, you can have a single great player. Like, I think Garrett's terrific. Mediocre defense. It's not his fault they're mediocre. He's a very good player on a team that still has a bunch of holes. The best way to plug those holes is more picks.
We'll be able to argue about this for months. Mm-hmm. I just want to get back to what we're doing here. So the 5th and the 27th pick for Miami, okay,
mm-hmm.
for Chase Young, you're doing.
100%.
Right? Redskins fans will get your calls on that. 800-636-1067. What about less than that, though? Like, what is your threshold? I think anyone who would turn down trading number 2 for 5 and 27 is probably making a huge mistake because of what you're talking about with Young. Just it's not a lock. He's not guaranteed to be unbelievable. And the fact that if you pick a guy at 5, you might be getting like Jeff Okuda, who's the best corner in the draft.
Yeah.
Or Jerry Jeudy. It's not like you're not getting all of a sudden
the best
one of
the
Mount
best
Rushmore
corner, right.
players in this class. You're still doing that in the top 5. And you're getting another starter, hopefully, at number 27 overall. Maybe that's your left tackle. Maybe that's your tight end. Maybe that's your cornerback. Like, what if you don't take Okuda? What if you take Jerry Jeudy at 5 and you take Grant Delpit, the defensive back from LSU, at number 27 if he's there? Because a lot of people in mocks right now have him going in the late first round. How about, though, 18 and 27? What if the Dolphins say we're not parting with 5? But we'll give you number 18 and we'll give you number 27 for your second pick. Would you do that?
I would. That's kind of my minimum.
I wonder if Redskins fans would do that. 800-636-1067. Because now you're not getting any of the elite presence players, immediate high impact guys in this class. Your Burrows, Youngs, Jedrick Willis, Andrew Thomas, Tua, Derek Brown, Jeff Okuda, Isaiah Simmons. Those guys are long gone. But at 18, you know, maybe that looks like Henry Ruggs, the wide receiver from Alabama. Or I mentioned Terrell Lewis, the edge from Alabama. Justin Herbert, the quarterback from Oregon, is going to go around there. So I guess someone could jump up, and at that point you could trade that pick, go back 2 picks, and pick up a second or a third rounder or something like that. You could take, if you wanted a wide receiver, like T. Higgins from Clemson, or maybe the tight end from Notre Dame goes off the board there. Or think about like the LSU corner, Christian Fulton. Any of those types of names, and then you still get to run back another pick at the end of the first round.
Mm-hmm.
The basic debate is two good or one great. You know, what are you going to try to do? Knowing that the batting average of getting both of those picks right in the mid and late first rounds is way, 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 way lower than getting the Chase Young thing right, where our parents
right.
could fill in that card after Joe Burrow and just hand it in, because that'll never
name?
Get you fired.
Chase Young, done. And that's what it's going to be, by the way, right? Don't we think?
What?
It's just going to be Chase Young, just because it's so safe for a new regime?
Well, the fact that they went defensive with Rivera and JDR, I think makes it really hard, probably not,
mm-hmm.
to take Chase Young. But no, I wouldn't say it's just going to be that. I think it matters what you're being offered. What if the Dolphins aren't willing to give up 2 of their 3 first-rounders, and they just say, we'll give you 1? Like, you give us your second pick, we'll give you 18, we'll give
like
you a first-rounder next year, and like a second-rounder this year. So you're getting 18 this year, and a second-rounder you don't have in the middle of the second round,
mm-hmm.
and a first-rounder next year. So you pick at 18, then in the second, and then next year you have 2 ones.
And probably a top-10 pick from the Dolphins next year? Yeah, I'm doing
that. Would you do that?
Yeah, I would do that.
800-636-1067. What's it going to take for you to be willing to part with that number 2 overall pick? And I do want to know, is there anyone who wouldn't do it for 5 and 27 if that's what the Dolphins came to the table with? G&D on the Fan. We're looking at the Redskins with the number two pick and the draft board on Grant and Danny. Welcome back, 106.7 The Fan. A lot of you guys have kind of dug in on they have to trade back or they have to take Chase Young. I'm trying to keep open the possibility of you guys just being open-minded here, because if you really want to take Chase Young, there's probably a draft trade on the table at some point that might be worth considering. And if you really want to trade back, you got to remember that you might not get the offer you want, and that at some point it's a diminishing return when you could potentially just sit there and take a guy who could change your defense for the next 8 to 10 years. And what if you trade back and Chase Young becomes J.J. Watt, so to speak? What if he becomes the next Von Miller in the National Football League, and you trade back and you get a couple of guys who are fringe roster dudes, or, you know, that don't work out? These are all possibilities, all got to be considered. And it's such a massive draft for this regime to get their staff started. You know, Mike Shanahan came in his first draft. He takes Trent Williams at number four. Oftentimes, you kind of go safer, go with a guy at a position of need, which is why maybe Chase Young's the most likely possibility. But I just threw a couple things out there. I was looking at the draft board last night. The Dolphins have three first-round picks. What if they gave you 5 and 27 for number two? Would you do it? And I think most Redskins fans would. 5 and 18, I think a lot of Redskins fans would do that. If they gave you 5 and 18, you have to take that.
No brainer for me. But I'm telling you, I think a lot. The only thing I disagree with you about on this is I think the majority of fans have their heart set on the superstar player. And they can't get it out of their mind.
But you're going to get a superstar if you draft fifth, too.
Well, I know
that. It won't be Chase Young.
Well, I know that. But when I say superstar player, I mean Chase Young.
They've read
everything that we've all read about how incredible he's going to be and is now, and they've got their heart set on it.
Possible.
The refrains of "you can't pass on that guy" are flooding me.
So the one that I won't do, and you will, is 18 and 27 for two. I'm not doing that.
I'd probably see if I could get a little sprinkle in there, like a...
But that's the end-all, be-all, and you're still doing that, and you're getting two ones is the point. And I'm saying no thank you, because I need elite football players, and I don't know that I trust at 18 and 27 to hit on two of those guys. So you're probably getting one guy that helps you, rather than just staying at two and getting Chase Young. So at 18 and 27, no. 5 and 18, definitely. 5 and 27, probably, but I want a little bit more, honestly. 5 and 27, to me, by itself, doesn't get it done. You're probably not giving me a second rounder at that point, which is fine, but I'll need a third, and let's flop like in the fourth and fifth or something like that.
I want a cadre of picks.
Let's go to Wendell in Springfield. How's it going?
Hey, guys. I'm not even picking up the phone for 5 and 27, but I will entertain the 5 and 18. It's just not enough value to me recouping, especially seeing how teams, Miami's probably going to be quarterback hungry. You pretty much may have them right where you want them. I do think you could squeeze a little more out the deal than just going back to 5 and then taking 27. So
basically, by moving back three picks, you're getting the 27th overall pick in the draft. That's not good enough. You want more. What would you need added to that? Would it be, what about like that plus this year's third rounder?
It definitely would be in this year, either a third round. I'd shoot for second. I'd play hardball, but
I don't think
if I had
that.
To go, I'd go third. Probably not, but I wouldn't just say third and jump on it.
Yeah, they're coming up three picks. They're giving you a one to do it in this year's draft, because a one next year means a little bit less, but it's this year that you're getting that immediate one for them to come up three picks, and now you want them to turn around and give you a high second that's almost like a super late first? I don't know if they're going to do that. Let's go to Ron in Upper Marlboro. How's it going?
Hey, Grant, Danny, how y'all doing, man?
Good, buddy.
Good.
Good. I wouldn't take a 5 and a 27. Now, on the 5 and 18, I may think about it, but, man, you got to give me a future number one. We're talking about a potential elite player in Chase Young that we haven't seen here probably since Dexter Manley. And we do know the Redskins, we lack pass rush. And he's also a local kid, man, with great pedigree, Ohio State. Look at the last two DNs that they put out. Would you not take any one of those Bosa brothers? And the best one is in San Francisco. You just can't. I wouldn't do it for a 5 and 27. 5-18 and a future number one, because if that number two pick, most people will make a trade for that. They want a quarterback. You got to give me more than that.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're right, because if they came up to two, they'd be doing it to get Tua.
Right. Or Herbert. I mean, unless, you know.
I guess if they love him. But, yeah, they're taking a quarterback. So maybe you're onto something. Like at 5-18 with a one in a future year, ideally next year, but maybe it'd be 2 years from now or something like that. You're trading up to get your quarterback. You're doing that because you're sold that you have your franchise QB.
Right.
That's where you can get teams to just start throwing picks at the wall.
Yeah, I mean,
remember what the Redskins did to go get Griffin.
I was going to bring up that
6-2, and they gave up three ones. The one that year, then two additional number ones after that.
I mean, Chicago got three picks by moving back one, or rather, San Francisco got three picks from Chicago by moving back one spot. One spot, because they were so panicked that Mitch Trubisky wouldn't be there.
So when the Redskins went 6-2 in 2012 and traded up to get Robert Griffin, four spots, they gave up that year's one and two ones to the Rams, so three overall ones. The Dolphins, in this hypothetical trade, if they gave up 5-27, or in this case, 5-18, with the first rounder the next year, would be giving up a total of three ones as well. Let's go to Drew in D.C. Hey, Drew.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? What's happening?
Hey, dude.
Me, definitely not 5-27. That's 5-18, but also I throw a little wrinkle in it. Since you don't have no second-round pick, I'm going to be like, hey, you give me 5-18. You know, I'm almost giving you a franchise, you know, giving you a franchise change of plan. And also, you throw in a position player.
The Skins the Dolphins do?
The Dolphins throw in a position player. You know, we get a position player of need.
I get what you're saying. So they're not giving you a second-round pick, but you're saying 5-18 and a player that you choose. They might be more willing to do that because they're rebuilding. Now, I don't think they'd give you, like, their best corner, Xavien Howard, or somebody like that.
But I see the point, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, they were handing away players like they were candy last year.
That's right.
So that's worth talking about.
Yeah, I love the idea, though, of – because, listen, the Redskins, and I liked the trade at the time, just for the record, getting back to get Montez Sweat. That sort of started to bear fruit towards the end of the season. But I love the idea also of looking at the context, going, we don't have a second rounder this year. So what can we do in that regard?
Yeah.
You give us, we'll give you our third, and you give us your second. Something like that, like to sweeten the deal.
It seems to me like it's first few calls in, but also just looking at Twitter and the responses.
Mm-hmm.
Skins fans are not in on 5-27 for number two. And I agree with that, by the way. Because while you have that great pick at number five, the pool drops off so substantially right around 18-20. And now 27 is effectively like an early second-round pick. Who you're taking at 27 and 35 in the NFL draft, it's just not that different.
Mm-hmm.
So I completely get that. I think 5-18 is a completely different trade than 5-27. Let's go to Manny in Laurel. How are you?
How you doing today? I'm
What's
doing good. Majority of the people said the same thing I said, but what I would want 5-18 and your first-round pick the following year. But if it's a top five, you give me your two.
So you'll let them have like a protected top five pick. Why even do that? I mean, you're saying basically because they wouldn't do it otherwise. So if that's a caveat that they need, then you'd be okay on signing off on that?
Right.
Okay. I mean, what about – now, I don't want to get into like fantasy football on the radio, and I don't know if this is plausible. Because normally they don't do the protected picks. I think you would just say 5-18 and a one. If the Dolphins wouldn't do it, though – why not take their one in 2 years, maybe? I mean, Ron Rivera just got here. He's not going anywhere.
Right.
So if they're not willing to part with a one this year, a year after that, teams are – I mean, they don't care. That's eons away at this point. So if you went 5-18 this year and the 2022 number one, basically, I think they'd say, oh, okay, we'll be better by then. That's like the 16th, 18th pick.
Right. I love acknowledging where you are, too, and things like that. I think you can get creative where you go, we'll probably still need extra picks in a couple years, right, as we're rebuilding this thing, as we're transforming this older roster into a younger one.
I really wish Tua didn't get hurt.
Me too.
If he didn't get hurt and he was completely healthy in this class.
And there were no questions.
Right. And you're sitting at number two. I think you're in the catbird seat for a Wentz, for a Griffin, for a Jared Goff, Rams coming up 14 spots, kind of trade up. Because he got hurt, I'm not convinced that'll be the case. I think it hurts what that pick is worth. But at least he declared. I mean, there was a small possibility he would have just stayed in college, and that would have really damaged that pick. 800-636-1067. What would it take for you to trade out of number two? I mean, we spent so many weeks with should the Redskins win or lose, and don't you want to pick as high as possible? And part of that was they might get Chase Young, which they now are in line to do. But the other part is that when you trade back from number two, you can get the most possible picks. Do you want to investigate that? And what do you need to make it happen? We'll discuss that. We'll give you a double play next on G&D on the Fan. It is just after 11:45, which means we'll give you a double play. We'll make it quick and squeeze in a few more of your calls. People want to hop in on Chase Young at number two or trading back. Now, the only reason I've picked the Dolphins, because they have three first-round picks, so you'd think they'd be willing to will and deal. And, oh, by the way, they really need a quarterback. They could just stay pat at five and probably get Tua, by the way. We haven't really discussed that.
That's the other thing.
But unless the Lions take him at three, nobody's taking him.
Well, people
now,
get so
someone could leap in front of them.
Right. I think the reason you make that trade is because you heard through the grapevine your spies in the industry are going, if we don't do it, name that team.
Chargers,
someone's
right
trading
behind
up.
Them.
Yeah, there you go.
Chargers at six need a quarterback. So do they jump to four or three, or maybe they trade to the Redskins at two? You know, they came up four spots. And that's the possibility, too, is it doesn't have to be Miami. I like the idea of the Dolphins because you could get multiple ones this year. But let's say it's the Chargers at number six. Phil Rivers is leaving, and they want their quarterback. They go to two, and they take Tua or Herbert or somebody. They take that player, and now you're on the clock at number six. You get their second this year and their first next year and maybe like their first or second the year after that. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to do this. I would just tell people that you better get a lot back if you trade down. If you're with you, and because some Nobel Prize winner wrote a story one time about the draft, and you have to trade down no matter what until you die, you better get a hell of a lot back for it. Because just two picks this year ain't good enough for me. I mean, this is it. Quarterbacks anymore are so valuable. Top three picks are so valuable. You better get a king's ransom. Let's crowbar in a quick double play before we get back to the phones. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports.
Super quick, if you're a gamer, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order is a lot of fun. It is really, really fun. Thank you very much, Tommy. Well, that was quick. You didn't even know I was doing this, and you still fired it. Do you just have that ready just in case Star Wars comes up? Man, that's cool. Branding. Anyway, takes place right after Order 66, the Jedi Purge that takes place. As we all know, some of those stories, Jedi wiped out. Then you've got Padawans and a couple people that have basically managed to escape. The goal initially is to set up a new Jedi Order. That's all well and good. A journey by our young hero you undertake. It is really, really fun. Combat's a lot like Dark Souls, Grant. I know you were looking for a comp.
I needed Dark Souls,
it's
yeah.
It's got a little Bloodborne to it.
The
movement is a lot of Assassin's Creed and kind of the new Tomb Raider games. Pleasantly surprised there. A lot of fun to get Force abilities, etc. I give it a solid 8 carbohydrates out of 10. One note, though, if I may really quickly. Don't get frustrated if you do get it and you're going, what the hell is Danny talking about? I can see this item. Why can't I go get that? I wish I'd known this before I undertook the game. The game provides. Let the game provide it. If you can't get it right now, it means you can't get it. You'll be coming back later, and you will get it. I wasted some time, and I wish I'd known that before I undertook it. But that is my double play, GP. Jedi Fallen Order, highly recommend the buy. 8 out of 10 carbohydrates.
And thank you for the insider tip as well.
Mm-hmm.
I needed that. That helps me.
That's right.
It's time for my double play. Just want to apologize to all of you out there yesterday who, like me and everybody else, was sitting in traffic and was miserable. My drive yesterday when I got out of here, so Chad didn't get in on time because it took him 3 hours to get to work, remember? So you and I stayed until about 2:15 yesterday. I left here and had to go over to Bethesda. That drive normally takes me about 25 minutes. It took me about 2 hours yesterday. How long did it take you to get home yesterday?
Hour.
It took me about 2 hours to get to Bethesda. Just maybe could have walked faster, honestly. Certainly could have biked faster. It was brutal. That's all I got to say. It was one of the worst traffic days of my life. I know a lot of you can relate. I know you were as angry and mad as I was. Hopefully you didn't break anything in your car.
Just terrible.
That's it. That's all I got. Traffic's the worst, and yesterday was as bad as I can remember.
It wasn't cold enough for the snow to stick. I understand that there's snow on the ground. We're all boned. It was clumped rain. That's all it was. You'd use your windshield wipers. You were fine.
It was bad.
What was the problem?
I don't know, but it happens every year. The first time snow falls, government sends everybody home. Everyone floods the streets at the same time. I mean, God forbid on one of those days something happens where people have to get somewhere by way of like emergency vehicle. What a nightmare that would be. That's all I got.
Yeah, that's all I have too. It stunk.
That's the double play. Let's go to Rob in Haymarket. Rob, what are you doing to trade down to the number two pick? What do you need?
Hey, your segue was perfect. You know, I don't know if there's a real comp for injured quarterback, trading up for an injured quarterback. So with that said, my ideal scenario is trading with Detroit. And because they could trade Matt Stafford to like a New England or something like that and still getting Chase Young at 3 at number three, getting a number two this year and taking a number one next year. I would be satisfied with that.
So I love that, Rob. Here's the problem I have with it. Why would they do that? I know the Bears one time did that for Mitch Trubisky. They still get made fun of for it.
Because they panicked.
People don't really do that. Like the Bears know that Redskins aren't drafting a quarterback at two. Unless, I guess your point is that they'd be worried that maybe Miami or someone would make the trade with Washington, so then they'd do it so that no one jumps in front of them. I just think that's unrealistic. But if here's what would have to happen. A lot of things. First, you'd have to trade Matt Stafford. I don't see that happening.
Me neither.
Number two, after trading Matt Stafford, you'd have to be sold and desperate to get, say, Tua. And you have to know that he's the only guy. Because if you think him and Herbert are kind of comparable, then you just stand pat and you don't lose a future pick that you could turn into a weapon for Herbert. Let's go to Kevin in Arlington on the Fan. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, fellas. Well, that sort of stole my thunder a little. Here's the one thing I would consider. Going into this draft, in my view, there are three elite prospects. The two quarterbacks and Chase Young. Now, if you're Riverboat Ron, you better play poker if you're convinced that any one of those three upgrades you tremendously. I still don't know, and no, neither does anyone else, if Haskins is the guy, and if Ron thinks Haskins is the guy. So we have to watch that. They might want to grab Tua. They really might.
But let me ask you this, Kevin. I agree we don't know what he thinks, and in fact, his answer about Dwayne Haskins gave me a little pause about what he thinks. Because he didn't really commit to him being the answer or say that he was overly sold. Having said that, even if he's not sold on Haskins, don't you think he gives him this year to go play? I mean, I would be beyond shocked if they drafted a quarterback at number two.
Okay, I wouldn't be because I go back to the September baseball analogy and the small sample size you were talking about with Haskins, okay? They may consider Tua, even with his injury, they may consider him to be the next Russell Wilson. They may consider Burrow to be the next Aaron Rodgers. They may consider Haskins, this new group, to be the next Jameis Winston. So I just think we have to see this play out. Now, if they want Chase Young and Detroit is wanting to pave the way for a succession, I would consider trading only down to the third spot, let them get Tua, if they're planning on moving on from Matt Stafford. But other than that, I want them to either take one of the two quarterbacks or Young. I wouldn't trade down.
We're talking a lot about teams coming up and getting Tua, by the way, who's basically on crutches right now.
I know.
So a lot needs to happen before the draft for him to prove that he's healthy, that he's going to be what he was before that injury.
This, to me, is the story of the draft,
by the way. It is, and it is maybe the most important thing for the Redskins in a weird
100%.
Way. 100%. That Tua Tagovailoa comes along far enough that people are sold that he can play next year.
It's twofold. How healthy is Tua, and does Justin Herbert wow everybody? That's what we should want as Redskins fans.
I got a couple tweets here from people saying the only way they trade out of that pick is if you get 5, 18, and 27.
Woo!
So the Dolphins are giving you three ones to go up and get a quarterback at two. I don't think they're doing that. Jeff and Laurel, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. First of all, I'm not opposed to trading down. However, one thing to consider. On the surface, obviously, if you hit on two picks, it's better than one. Three picks, it's great, better than one. However, one thing to consider, if Chase Young is everything that they say he is, he's one of those rare athletes that makes everyone around him better. If he can make John Allen, Ioannidis, Payne, Sweat, a little bit better. I mean, you're making your whole defense a lot better. Is that worth, or is it worth more than getting an extra player? And that's what you have to consider.
It's a great question. It's what they got to find out, because that's what J.J. Watt, that's what Aaron Donald, that's what Von Miller do. That's why they're the defensive players of the year. 21 sacks this year for Chase Young. 16.5 sacks and 21 tackles for loss. And in the last 2 years, he had 27 sacks and 35.5 tackles for loss. Nobody statistically or anecdotally more impactful in college football up front than that guy. It's going to be a completely captivating next couple of months. The Beltway Blitz is next, and at 12:18, a Redskins reporter saying that he doesn't think developing Dwayne Haskins is the team's top priority anymore. We'll explain.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.